It is my privilege at this time to introduce our commencement speaker. Pastor Clint Cavaniss serves at Victory Baptist Church in Roseburg, Oregon. He's pastored that church for the past 16 years. It's been a privilege to have his daughter, Christy, in our college. And I know that he is excited about this evening. For 13 years, Brother Clint Cavaniss served here with Trinity Baptist Church as youth pastor and then associate pastor and youth pastor. We're honored to have him here tonight in our service and to bring our commencement address. Just before he comes, Mrs. Jan Garner, wife of the chairman of our deacons, and our deacons are our board of directors for our college, is going to come and sing We Believe.
Who created all that is, and we believe the universe and all therein is His. As a loving heavenly Father, He yearns to say us all, to lift us from the fall, we believe. We believe in Jesus, the Father's only Son, existing uncreated before time had begun, the sacrifice for sin. He died, then rose again to ransom sinful men, we believe. We believe in the Spirit who makes believers one. Our hearts are filled with His presence, the Comforter is come. The kingdom unfolds in His plan, unhindered by quarrels of man. His church upheld by His hand, we believe. This one remains.
If you have your Bible tonight, turn it to John chapter 13 with me, please. If not, I'll read it to you. Thank you for coming tonight. I know it means a great deal to the graduates that you have honored them by your presence. I know it also means something to this pastor and this church. I want to congratulate you parents who have helped your young man or young woman. Probably from almost the time of conception, you began praying for the many of you, and watched them grow up, take their first steps, send them off to first grade or K-5 or whatever you did, and shepherded their hearts all the way through their elementary school and then through the teen years, then saw them surrender themselves to the Lord somewhere along that path and go off to Bible college. You helped them get through this, some financially, some academically, some with encouragement, some all of the above. And I want to beg you tonight, parents, don't stop now. We've learned, haven't we? You never quit parenting. You let go, but you never quit parenting. Not when they turned 18, not when they turned 21, not when they graduate from college. You never quit parenting. I want to thank you and congratulate you parents on this success in your life to see your young person here. I want to congratulate also the mates of these who have seen your husband or wife through college, the special sacrifice that that requires, and the hours in some cases of deprivation of many things, sometimes time, finances, other things, and the support that you've given. I want to congratulate the pastors who have fruit to your ministry, who have a heart and a burden to see the world hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, who have a heart for young people, and you've preached and you've taught and you've prayed. And these young people are in some small way trophies in your case. I know mostly to Jesus Christ, but in some way it's a fulfillment of a dream and a desire that you've had. And I want to congratulate you. And last tonight, I want to congratulate you graduates. You have, you made it. And for some of you, it was a long road. For all of you, it was a tough road. For some of you, it was physical problems, maybe through their sickness, automobile accidents, problems back at home. Trying to figure out how to make the payment and on the fines and the tuition too, and how to pass that one certain class that was so difficult for you and it just didn't click and you had to struggle, and the many late nights and all the papers that had to be written and the all-nighters you pulled and saw the sun come up through bleary eyes and went and tried to put a smile on and sit in class and act like you were conscious. You weren't asleep, you were meditating on unconsciousness. I know that's true. Congratulations. We're proud of you. I mean, we really are proud of you. We have such hopes for you. Not more than you and Jesus together can bear. One person said there's no greater burden than a great potential. And we are so happy to see you succeed and to come to the finish line of these years and this degree. And I know that if we could, we would all just, well, this would be a big group hug right here, I don't know, but we would all hug your neck and tell you that we're proud of you, and we look forward to what you're going to do for Jesus Christ. By the way, when we see you again, I hope we recognize you. The trio sang about the old paths. Testimonies came about the old paths. When we see you again, I hope we recognize you. I hope you still got a King James Bible in your hand. I hope you still keep your separation standards. I hope you still believe in person-to-person soul winning. I hope you still believe in a local, independent, Bible-preaching church. And I hope that you are recognizable and you don't have your holy jeans and your little hippie hair and your spiky do and all this stuff that just looks like the other people. We live in a day of sloppy agape. We live in a day when, you know, for many of you, can't go to church without a rock concert. Got to be a play, something to entertain me. Long ago, people got bored with Jesus. Long ago, the Bible wasn't enough to hold them, and we made church an entertainment place. Many won't sit in Sunday school without a latte these days. And many will not pray without some emotional, unknown tongue experience. But it's not about you. It's not about how you feel. It's not about you feeling important. It's not about pride of life. It's not about you becoming a success. Your presence here tonight and your mission in your life is about making Jesus Christ known and lifting Him up. You do that and you do it faithfully and you'll be a success. John chapter 13 and verse 2 reads this way, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now, you know the story here. This completely undid old Peter. You're not serving me, Lord. You're not washing my feet. We wear sandals. Have you seen those streets with the livestock going through them? Do you know what's been on my feet, Lord? Do you know where these feet would have been? The Savior, the Messiah, is not going to stoop down and gird himself with a towel and wash these awful feet of this old sinner. No, sir, it's not going to happen. And Jesus looks him in the eyes and said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you got no part in me. Next verse. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Lord, then all of me. Lord, if you have to wash my feet to have for me to have part in you, then Lord, my head, my hands, all of me. It's a little humorous that Jesus responded, no, your feet will be fine. If you don't understand the principle being taught there, it's very simple. There is no such thing as partial lordship. You may have a lot more to learn in the Christian life, and you may grow day by day as you learn and yield. But lordship is giving God all of what you have right now with what you know. And Jesus says to him, if I've got your feet, I've got the rest of you. I don't need to give you a bath. I just need you to surrender to my touch. I'd like to lock three ideas into the wheelhouse of your soul tonight, graduates. And my charge to you has three simple thoughts. The first one of which is, live with honor. Are you looking right in my eyes? Live with honor. Honor is your qualification for this work. Honor is the reason anyone will give you a hearing. A wealthy man was sitting in a hotel restaurant. He looked across at another table, and there was a beautiful woman sitting there. She was alone, and he made his way over to her table, and he sat down beside her, and he looked her right in the eyes, and he said, ma'am, would you come up to my room with me tonight for $1 million? She blushed, she looked left, she looked right, and she said, well, I guess for $1 million I would. He paused and said, ma'am, would you come up to my room with me tonight for $100,000? She said, I like the $1 million sound better, but I guess I would for $100,000. He said, ma'am, would you come up to my room for $1? She pushed her chair back, gasped, and said, what do you think I am? He said, we've already established what you are. Now we're just haggling for a price. Live with honor. It is what gets you heard. Notice that when Jesus wants to wash Peter's feet, he wants to serve him by cleaning him. There was a young boy about 6 years old, looked up at his elementary school first grade teacher, and he said, lady, how old are you anyway? She said, I'm 29 and holding. He said, how old would you be if you let go? Hey, what could you be for Christ if you just let go? What could you do for God if you just let go? If you just quit worrying about what everybody else thinks? If you just quit worrying about what was written or said about you? What could you do for Christ if none of it mattered and it was all about Him and not about you? Never learn to act. It's a bad habit. Let your love be without dissimulation. Let your faith be unfeigned. Let your wisdom be without hypocrisy. And let your surrender be without repentance. You don't have to act humble if you are humble. You don't have to act holy if you are holy. Never learn to act. God calls you to be. Live with honor. The honor of honesty and integrity, of purity, of virtue, of consistency, of persistence, of godliness. Number two, I would say this to you. Accomplish your mission. Accomplish your mission. The church has become a place a little bit like McDonald's, where millions are served, but no one gets fed. That is not your calling. Your calling is not to find out what the world wants and build a church like that. Your calling is not to poll the community like you're building a mall. You represent the Jesus Christ of heaven. You have the Bible as your guide and the truth for you to speak. Don't you ever forget who you represent and of whom you are an ambassador. We are not a people who pick a fine city we want to live in, then take job interviews to secure that location. We are not a people who look for the grandest paycheck or the most lucrative benefits or ultimate notoriety. We are not a people who pick the best location to distinguish ourselves or choose our field of ministry based upon the demographics of housing starts. We are confirmed that this is not, in fact, about us. It's not about our reputation. It is not our position at all in the eyes of men. This is about the Savior and the eternal souls for which He died. The as yet nameless and faceless people in our memory who are beloved of God. We are not a people daunted by unpleasant climates, poor living conditions, or poverty on a grand scale. There is no place we won't go. There is no mountain too high. There is no place too hot or too cold. If people Jesus died for are there, then our lives are a blank check for him to mail where it pleases him. We do not dodge in the face of a hostile government or the antagonism of other religions. We do not flinch at the thought of long, unrecognized service or even the laying down of our lives in the traces, confident that our all-knowing commander sees and rewards in his good time. Let the whiner and the moper stay at ease by the swimming pool, sipping his tea. Let the sycophant flatter, fawn, and brown nose his way to the top of some religious service that is more about making him feel good about himself than serving the King of Kings. Let those who only serve when they are paid remember the words of our Lord, who said, "Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts." It's not about your paycheck. It's not about how big your house is. It's not about what anybody owes you. In case you didn't remember, and I know you graduates do, the Bible talks about a reward time, and it is yet future. Let the mama's boy hide within the folds of her apron and wring his uncalloused and lily-white hands as he cowers near hearth and home. But let the soldier of Jesus Christ go to the corners of the earth to take the gospel to the lost. Let those who demand a 9-to-5 work week with expense accounts and country club memberships go to business school and make their marks on commerce and enterprise. But let the soldier of the cross recognize that the work of God is his life. It's not his day job. It's not his means of income. It's not his hobby. There is no resignation from this commission. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Let the soldier encourage himself in the Lord and raise a battlement against the heartbreak and the dreary days which most certainly will come. Discipline is not doing without. It's doing within. It's having something in here that handles everything out there as you yield and depend on God and keep your face towards your mission. Let the soldier steel his nerves with a lion heart and launch forth to the work, the uncertainty, the risk, and the trial that is battle. Let him be strong in the Lord, the scripture says, and in the power of his might. With Saul, let us ask, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" With Esther, let us say, "If I perish, I perish." With Isaiah, let us recite, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And with the three Hebrew children, let us say, our God is able to deliver us. But whether he deliver us or not, know this, we will not bow down to your image. Let us press toward the mark. Let us run our race with patience. Let us die and see our errand fulfilled. And finally, graduates, I would say, go all the way. Go all the way. This soldier's going to need ribs like saw logs. This soldier's going to need a skin like a rhinoceros hide. This soldier's going to need a nose and a jaw of adamant, a forehead of titanium. Did you ever read in the Bible about the prophet that God made with a hard head? He's going to need a face set like a flint to his purpose. Amen. A heart as hot as the sun's core and as soft as melted butter. Let this soldier fight heavily armed, But as Ephesians 6 teaches, on his knees, praying with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. The mission is the whole word to the whole world. Now, it may be that tonight you sit here. You came at someone's invitation. And the fact is, you yourself have never accepted the Jesus Christ these graduates have given their life to. I know that there are many causes that people spend themselves in. But when a person is willing to serve and die for something, don't you stop and listen a little more carefully? It may be that you're here tonight and you yourself have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. These young people have accepted Him and loved Him and will spend their lives in His service. This one who loves you, this one who died for you, this one who gave it all on the cross that we might not go to hell, but see heaven forever. I can't think of anything that would be more delightful than tonight you to come to Jesus Christ. Did you know these people, wherever they go, to whatever city in Texas or around the world, would rather see you saved than anyone they will ever meet for the rest of their lives? That they would love it more if you came to Christ than anyone they cannot yet imagine the name of. May I invite you to call on Christ tonight as your Savior. The stakes are the souls of men. The motive is the praise of the glory of His grace. The rules of engagement are the Scriptures. The duration is to the last breath on the last day of earthly existence, when we leap by faith forward for Christ in this life and land with our feet on the banks of glory. And the battle is the Lord's. I conclude with this. I commend to you the pledge of another graduating class 6 centuries ago. In that classroom, there was only one table. It had a large stone slab about 6 inches thick in the middle. That was the tabletop. It was a Bible college very similar to one like this, in which young preachers would come out of the seven valleys of that land to this one-room Bible college, and there in rotation, the pastors of the churches in those seven valleys would make by rotation their path here to teach the young preachers the Word of God. They were trained for a little over a year, and then they would go out and spend a year without support, without a paycheck, without an appointment. And they would walk from town to town, soul winning and preaching, and learning to pray and trust God. At the end of their successful completion of that year, they would come back to the seven pastors. It was a graduating class very similar in size to yours. And they would make a commitment. It was a solemn vow they took in that room before they went out to a life of uncertainty. In fact, for those who would go to the city of Rome itself, some many hours away by walk, their life expectancy there was no more than 2 weeks. This was the vow they made. We will faithfully serve our Savior until death take us or our life force is spent. And from that graduating class to yours, I make that challenge. Until death take you, or your life force is spent. Until death take you, or your life force is spent. You cannot quit when you're discouraged. You cannot flake on God. You cannot flip. You cannot bail out. You cannot find the new fad religious thing and change over. You are independent, fundamental, Bible preaching, Bible believing men and women. Be that. Witness for Christ. Stand your ground. Fight the good fight of faith. And then be able to say with Paul, I have finished my course. Because in fact, you end one thing today and you begin a new one tomorrow. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for these fantastic graduates. For the years of labor, perseverance, and hard work they have put into coming to this night, for the anticipation and excitement of this day. Lord, I've done my very best to give them a charge to stay to the old paths, stay to the old book, stay to the old time religion, to be a soldier of the cross, live with honor, finish your mission, go all the way. For those, Lord, in this room who may not have accepted Christ as Savior, but would want to right now, who believe that you are the Son of God who died on the cross and rose from the dead, who are sorry for what they are and repent of what they are as a sinner, but are willing tonight to embrace you by faith alone, I lead them in this prayer. If you're here in this room tonight and that is your heart, would you pray inside with me as I pray outside, dear Jesus? I know I have nothing to offer you. I have broken your laws many, many times. I'm sorry for what I am. Please forgive me. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross and rose from the dead. I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sins. Tonight I accept you as my Savior. I ask you to wash me clean inside. By faith I come to you as a little child and receive your gift of eternal life. Come into my heart and save me. Please, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brother Cavanis. I asked him a few days ago, I said, how many graduation messages can you remember that you heard? I've heard hundreds, or I guess hundreds probably by now. I'm sure he's heard a lot. Not many. And I said, I want you to challenge these students. And he's charged, given you a charge, and he's challenged you. And I pray that you'll remember this, not just you, but the folks that are here tonight. It's been a great blessing to have Brother Cavanis here. And it is a great honor tonight, on behalf of Trinity Baptist Church and Trinity Baptist Bible College, to give to you, the graduates of the college, if you would stand, face the audience. Thank you, students. You are now graduates. Thank you.
behalf of Dr. Smith, the Trinity Baptist Church, and the Trinity Baptist Bible College, let me say a word of thanks for being here tonight and honoring these graduates by your presence. We do have a reception planned just right across the drive and on the lower floor of our two-story educational building. If you can stop by for just a few moments, we do have some refreshments there for you, and that way you can take other pictures if you'd like there and congratulate these students. Let's stand together. God bless you. Father, what a great God you are, and we certainly are so grateful for the joy that our hearts have experienced tonight by seeing these 12 graduates who have given years of their life to dedicate themselves to the cause of Christ. Bless the refreshments now that we're about to partake of, and Lord, let our time together in fellowship be one that would honor Christ. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.